Hari
Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhakti Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 1, Description of the Bhakti Yoga Process, page 33. Generally, people do not understand the need for making spiritual progress and cleansing the heart of all dirty things, abhadrani. Material life means dirty life, uncivilized life. Yet people think that they have that having nice clothes and a nice apartment and a nicely washed body means they are civilized. They do not know how the contamination within their hearts has attacked them. So he's not talking about necessarily gross outside. It means that it can manifest that way. But it's about the dirt in the heart. So if the heart's clean, then generally you'll see is then, you know, the subtle body's clean, so the gross body, and therefore the clothes, and therefore the environment, it'll go. But some people, because they see it's better for sense gratification or extended sense gratification, or they'll extend that aspect where they'll keep a clean environment, but it's not necessarily purified. Like their clothes are clean, but not pure. You know, so yeah. In the name of civilization, people have created so many unnecessary things called anarthas. For example, thousands of years ago in the Vedic age, when there was no so-called advancement of civilization, people used to eat from utensils made of silver or gold, or at least some kind of metal. Now people are using plastic, yet they are still proud of their advanced civilization. Actually, the plastic utensils are unnecessary. Another example, 200 years ago in India, there was no industry, but people were so happy. You do not have to travel 200 miles or 500 miles away from home to earn their livelihood. In Europe and America, I've seen that some people are daily flying by planes to the place where they earn their livelihood. From Toronto, they are flying to Montreal, almost 500 miles. Nearly everyone has to travel at least 50 miles. In New York, many people come from a great distance on Long Island, across the river, and then take a bus to reach their place of employment. All this travel is simply unnecessary. And in Los Angeles, they have to, you know, they have to traverse like five blocks, but it takes them 2 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, if they rode their child's, you know, tricycle, they would get there quicker. All this travel is simply unnecessary. Chanakya Pandit says, who is happy? He answers, the man who does not work away from home and who is not a debtor, he is happy. Very simple. Yet now we see that practically everyone works away from home and everyone is a great debtor. So, because you have, it means nothing else, to say, oh, you have debts, and they'll say no, but they have a mortgage. It's just you change the name from debt, you know, 30-year debt to mortgage, and then it sounds really good. In fact, some people have two on the same, you can do, they can mortgage the same property twice, but it'd be by the same concern, the same bank, right? Otherwise, the two banks would fight over each other, no?
It's a tricky system. they always get, somehow or other, they get profit.
Okay.
Or you can take from many banks, but then it's too confusing because people can't manage it. Then one bank comes, and is it? Yeah, and then he says, okay, I'm going to do for you very good. Now you only pay us. little, and then
it just keeps telling you.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
Wow. Also, they get mortgage on the car. Obviously.
Mortgage on the car now?
Yeah.
For how many years?
3-4 years.
What if you total the car in the first 6 months? You're still paying for the car you don't have.
Yes.
Yeah. If it's your fault, of course you can.
Insurance?
Yeah. Well, you can buy a computer and install this for 2 years, the same mortgage.
Really? Now they have mortgages for computers. So before they used to call them loans, bank loans, now they call it a mortgage.
This is called installments.
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 You can usually almost double.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the end.
By the end, yes.
Because you don't have the money, you don't have to pay double.
Because every month you pay something. And if you can't pay by the end of it.
So it means someone who has it, then you just buy it.
Yeah.
If you have, you buy it, but nobody does that. Because you have a credit card. Credit card means installment.
So it's kind of like what the Bhatta says, he's too poor to buy cheap things. So he's too poor to, you know, take a loan. Wow.
And even wonder what if you love, it's cheaper to rent a car.
Then it is buy.
Yeah, so he just rents the best car and he doesn't care about the car at all. He just uses it and then in 6 months he has another car.
Oh.
In the last model. So it's cheaper to buy the car.
I heard someone talk about that. And you're with the company and after 6 months they'll change it anyway. New model comes out, they change it for you.
You can change it in 3 months if you want.
And better with the driver?
You mean to you can rent as a driver?
Yeah. I do that, like when in the temple everybody was like, oh, we'll buy a car, this, but when I was a guest house in church, I was always hired. I just got one guy and then problem solved, and you call and he's morning 5 o'clock he's there. If you have your own car, maintain your own driver, he'll never be there.
At 5 o'clock, no.
He's there, and you need not hurry.
No, wait. That's not that. You're being unkind. Means at 5 o'clock he will, get up. He'll set his alarm. Then he'll, do this.
That you need to do with the other guy also. You need to wake them up by calling. In India, you are the servant. If you want your get there. Yeah, you are the servant. If you want your
servant. Servant to the servant. Yes. So elegant.
That doesn't go, Maharaj. That stays always.
Oh, okay. So that goes. Okay. Yet now we see that practically everyone works away from home and everyone is a great debtor. You do say debtor, right? You don't see the B, not in American. I don't know. In British, do you say it?
Yes,
debtor?
Huh? The debt, you call debt.
Yeah, he's in, yeah, we just drop. Okay. So how can they be happy? In America, the banks canvass. Borrow money from us, purchase a motor car, purchase a house, and as soon as you get your salary, give it to us. Or they offer, take this bank card. It should be known as bankrupt card. You take the card and deposit your money in the bank, then you can purchase whatever you like with a card. But soon you are without any money and all you have left is that card. Yeah, so they give you a piece of plastic and take your money. So it means it's already paper, which has more of a value because at least your kids can make an airplane out of it, you can blow your nose, you can light a cigar, something you could do with it. But with a card you can't do anything, right?
Pick a lock?
Okay. And if you're good at it, you could self-defense, cut somebody's forehead. Okay, but other than that, then no. Okay. So, all these anarthas can immediately be finished if you take up the process of Krishna consciousness, or bhakti yoga. Anartho pashamam shakshat bhakti yogam adhoksajay, Srimad Bhagavatam 176. Good example is our students in the Krishna consciousness movement. Many are from America or Europe, and they knew very well how to increase anarthas. But as soon as they knew very well how to increase. Yeah, very pleasant, very pleasant. But as soon as they joined our society, they no longer had to pay the cinema bill, the gambling bill, and so many other bills. Even the medical bills were decreased almost to nil. Does a person die without smoking? No, it is an anartha. One becomes habituated to smoking due to bad association. Sangat sanjayate kama. Because of bad association, one learns how to smoke, how to gamble, how to eat meat, how to take intoxication. In America, the government is spending millions of dollars to stop this intoxication habit among the young people. But the government does not know how to stop it. Here is the remedy, Krishna consciousness. It is practical. Anyone who seriously takes up the process of Krishna consciousness can immediately give up all bad habits, including intoxication. But still the government will not patronize the Krishna conscious movement. They'd rather spend lavishly on some useless program. Because the modern people do not know how to get out of the clutches of all these unnecessary things. The learned Srila Vyasadeva wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lo kasya janato vidvams chakre satvata samhitam. Take shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam and you will perfectly learn how to diminish your unnecessary things. Sanatana Goswami has forbidden us to hear about Krishna from non-devotees. Avaishnava mukho mukod girnam putam hari katam ritam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpo chishtam yata payaha. One should not hear anything about Krishna from a non-devotee, non-Vaishnava. Milk touched by the lips of a serpent has poisonous effects. Similarly, talks about Krishna given by a non-Vaishnava are also poisonous. Sometimes in India, people who do not know the principles of Vaishnava behavior become professional reciters of the Srimad Bhagavatam and hold seven-day public readings called Bhagavat Saptaha. Such hearings of Srimad Bhagavatam is forbidden. The present verse recommends Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, regular hearing of the Bhagavatam, not Saptaham Bhagavata Sevaya, 1 week's hearing of the Bhagavatam. What to speak of all 18,000 verses? The whole of Vedic knowledge is contained in the Bhagavatam. Is the Bhagavatam such a thing that you cannot understand? That you can understand everything by just hearing it for 1 week. You will not understand one word by reading the Bhagavatam for only a week. What to speak of all 18,000 verses? The whole of Vedic knowledge is contained in the Bhagavatam. Nigama kalpataro kalitam phalam. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.3. So what will you understand by only a week's reading? The real prescription is given here. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Every day you should hear the Bhagavatam, and at every moment you should remember the Bhagavatam. Then, Nasta Prayeshvava Dveshu, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.18, the dirty things in your heart will be eradicated. This is the essence of the Krishna consciousness movement, to provide you with an opportunity to hear about Krishna patiently, so that the dirty things within your heart will be cleansed away. What those dirty things are will be mentioned in the next verse. Lust, greed, and other effects of the modes of passion and ignorance. Rajastamo bhavaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.19. Chapter 13, Dharma, the Way of Transcendence. Prabhupada is very, very exact in this book. Yeah, so it's the cleansing of the heart, is because the material desire, that's going to be the difficulty. So that's what you're cleaning. Because we generally look at it, you're cleaning the sins. Because we're worried about sins and the reaction of sins. But it's actually you clean the heart so that then you don't do anything sinful. Because if you're not doing anything sinful and you're Krishna conscious, it doesn't really matter what the reactions are that you're getting. You know what I'm saying? Because we'll look at it, no, because I want a pious environment, I want a prosperous environment. So, but that's going to be whatever you're supposed to get. But if you maintain material desire, then you'll create more in that work, it'll be fruitive, you'll create further. of that. But if the heart is pure and there's no interest in the material desire, then your work at present, no matter what the facility is coming, either nice or not nice or mixed, then you're not being implicated. So then one is not disturbed. So that's the actual. Because anxiety means to be happy, you have to be in anxiety first. So that's the problem. We want to always be in anxiety. We don't want to be unhappy. But the problem is to become happy, you have to be in anxiety first. Satisfaction is sustainable. That's the only thing that's sat- you know, whatever comes, you're satisfied with it. You don't. Does that make sense? You just do your duties. That desire is there, and so you see things in the context of the duty, and then things come along. You're satisfied. You work for that. You get. You're satisfied. Yes.
So in the material world, is the maximum that we should aspire for, like satisfaction?
Basically. You know, I mean, it's just Bhagavatam said the same, the second canto, I think. It says good health.
Yeah.
I mean, you might aspire for that just because if you're healthy, you can do your service. But it's, we're not talking about this perfection of health that, you know, people that overly get into it are talking about, because that won't come. You know? It's that you just see what works and then try to find that stable position in which you can be steadily healthy.
I'm just thinking of a way to sell the, for example, Nyaya Sutra seminar. You can say that this is for your good health because you think logically, and then by this you will have good health. It's a marketing strategy.
Yes.
I think Medini, the commentator on Manusmriti, he says by understanding Nyaya Sutra, then you mental disturbances and unfortunate situations will be removed, something like that. So it is.
See? Already.
Something, there are two or three points he mentioned.
Can you dig it?
What, you're going to sell or what?
We didn't even finish it. You already want to sell it. I mean, this is good.
It's like, you know, when they had that concept for a project. And
concept,
then people invest with it, what's that called?
Yeah.
You know, and then with that money, then they build
they
it.
They manifest it.
Yeah.
It's called, you say it on green.
Sighting
green.
Sighting green.
Sell it on green.
Sell it on green.
On green, yeah. It is not built, but you already sold it. The building is not built, it's already sold out.
Okay, so they mean green meaning like in the blueprint, or green meaning the green?
Green, like what do you call it?
Oh, waiting for the light. Not, I mean, technically it means they want to see the green, which means, you know, they want to see a lot of stacks of Benjamin Franklin.
I thought that's not right yet. Green rainbow or something.
Oh.
That's a deep statement that has so many meanings.
Yeah, just like that.
You said you start disagreeing on
money, rights, unripe fruit.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So you're selling coins. It's here.
And then from selling on the green, you can get to Gita on the green. You know Gita on the green? That's, you know, the story of Bagger Vance?
Yeah.
Never heard
the story of?
Bagger Vance. I don't know who wrote it. Some devotee wrote it. It's Bhagavad Gita, but it's set in a scenario where they're sometime a little bit period back in, I think, in Georgia, in Atlanta. And then at some, you know, with all these aristocratic people, at a golf course in some tournament like that. And some guy's really good at golf, but then he has some, what's his name?
Arjuna.
Or better yet?
Arjuna.
R. Dot Juna. And Bagger Vance means Bhagavan. Just, he's the guy that comes in, and he's the caddy. He comes and he...
Chariot driver.
He's a chariot driver, and he tells him what's going on. And so then when he understands this, then he wins the tournament. Wow. You know, like that. And so I think...
It helps him find his true swing.
Yeah, help us find his true swing. Okay.
Because everyone has a true swing.
So this must have been from the 40s, because they were in the swing.
But if some devotees wrote it, means when did they do?
I was sometime back. I think it was like in the 90s.
In the 90s.
When I remember that Gita on the green, that's a There's a sarup there in it. Rabindra sarup. Guys, sarup Damodar? No, that's the science thing. You know, and then I thought, is that sarup? Yeah, and then I thought, no, but who told me about it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He was saying, he was quoting from Rabindra Sarup Ji that it was, he called it Gita on the Green, because the golf course is called the Green. So then from selling it on the green, and you can go to Gita on the Green. And this way you can, you know, step by step bring them closer to Krishna. He hasn't even started in the mind yet. They have money in their hands. Take it. No, stand in line. No, we have the money. Don't get impatient. From this, you can sell it even better, you know.
Yeah. So it helps in three things, Maharaj. In subjugating evil habits, misfortunes, and mental disturbances.
Subjugating evil habits.
Misfortune.
And
mental disturbances.
And mental disturbances.
It's there in the...
Yeah?
Yeah, Nyaya Sutra, page...
Subjugating evil habits. It's in the beginning page.
Means we already read it.
The first page, opening page.
It takes until you finish the book to tune in and ask, oh, this is what it means. Then when he goes back and teaches it, he goes, here it is.
Right there, I'll pay you up.
Yeah. And so many times it's like that. You're talking, no, it'd be really good. Like, no, but that's... it's always fun when somebody's quoting you and says, but you know, in this class and you know 19, you know, 33, then you know, you said this, you know, it's like, really?
I know that now, but I didn't know I knew it then.
So it's amazing like that, you know. Much as the other day said somebody from the 80s. And I was just thinking, really? Okay. So, even though impurities are not completely destroyed, nasta prayeshu, bhakti can be performed steadily. In the process of jnana, however, steady performance requires complete destruction of impurities. So that's the disadvantage. Right? By performing the karma, you'll get jnana, because it'll remove some to get jnana. But unless it's completely destroyed, you can't function in jnana. But bhakti itself will remove it and allow you to practice it. So it's much, because it's natural for the soul, because the other things are dealing with the conditioned nature. They're not dealing with the soul. So therefore the quality of the gross and subtle body, you know, has to be considered. Well, but for bhakti, it doesn't. It's not. Yeah. Now this shows the unimpeded nature of bhakti. Bhakti in the form of meditation becomes constant, naishtiki, by service to the devotees or to Bhagavatam. Riti. The next anucheda explains how the person constantly engaged in the process of devotional service can overcome all material modes and be fixed in the mode of pure goodness. Anucheda 14. It is said, quote, he whose remembrance is not lured by domination over the three worlds, and who does not move for half a second from the Lord's lotus feet, which is sought by the devatas, who also meditate on the Lord, is the best of devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.53. By destruction of all desires, one's heart becomes merged in Shuddha Sattva, and is thus suitable for direct perception, Shakshatkara of the Lord. Right, so when you destroy the desires, then you can be always observed. Because sattva means that there's going to be some contamination of rajas and tamas. Shuddha sattva, there's not. That means there's no material desire. And so when that's there, then the whole thing will work very nicely. So, yeah. Quote, as soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.19, footnote 5, translation by His Holiness Bhanuswami. The mind becomes unaffected by lust, greed, anger, hatred, and illusion, which arise from rajas and tamas. Then the mind becomes fixed in the form of the Lord at the stage of asakti and becomes satisfied. Like we saw before, this quote is at the point of nishta. Now he's saying asakti. He becomes satisfied. Right? Because before that you get a taste. It means you have the anartas or distracted. The anartas is reduced, you become steady in devotional service. From being steady means there's no distraction. Then you get taste. When that taste is there, then that naturally will bring you forward. Then you become fixed on the way. It said here, the form of the Lord. Then you become then absorbed in, you know, the anasakti. It means have a taste. It means that an attachment for that. So here's Lord at the stage of sakti. So then your form of the Lord. So that means then you're going to, you know, then it'll develop. Then you'll come to qualities. Then will come to pastimes. Like that, because here's means all the way through you're engaged in hearing and chanting about all these levels of name, form, quality, and pastimes, but there comes a point where it becomes the focus. So that makes sense. So the taste, ruchi means the taste for hearing, you know, about the glories of the Lord, right? Then you're going to get attachment to the form of the Lord, right? That'll naturally then go into the further, then the personal qualities of the Lord, you know, and the pastimes. So when you get to, which part? Apan? No, that's. No, you have Smarana, Shravana. That means no, it's Shravana Dasa, Varana Dasa, Smarana Dasa, then Apan. Apan Dasa. At that point, then you're absorbed in the pastimes. You're in the pastimes. So before that, there's going to be that complete absorption of the Lord, His qualities, and then the thinking of the pastimes. So then one can move into actually being in the pastimes. So it's a natural progression, because what you're seeing is that before that, you come to the stage of samadhi, so you're completely absorbed. So for us, to have any absorption at all is very good. You know, now and again, we get something here and there, a moment, but then when it comes to the point where it starts to become more stable, I think in the yoga process, then potentially defines five levels. So there's samadhi is the last, and I think before that is jnana. You know, where you're meditating on the Lord, but it hasn't become intense and concentrated. Then before that will be regular focus on the Lord. Then it's, you know, quite, you know, much of the time. Then it's occasional. So you start with occasionally you think, then more regularly you think, then it's starting to become quite focused, then it actually becomes focused. Then it becomes completely absorbed. So it's just a natural progression. So if we see any interest, that means the process is working. So we shouldn't say, oh, it's been so long. No, it's working. Like that. Yeah?
Vishnu Chakravarti says that on the level of sadhana, smartavya satam vishnu vismartavya jatachu. This verse means to remember the Lord once in a day. Because if it means to remember Him always, this will bring doubt, because it's not possible for this level.
Wow, so just once a day you absorb yourself nicely in the Lord. So that means it's something to attain, so it means we're not necessarily doing that. You know, we're going through the motions, but not necessarily always really focused on the Lord. Okay, so at least once a day. And then you move it up to three times a day. Yeah. Like that. And then, you know, then you feel it in between.
And also, when you say, I got distracted from Krishna, it sounds very innocent. But when you read what are the distractions, all these are very, they are not innocent at all. All these
lust, greed, anger, hatred, illusion. Yeah, no, they're not overly glorious. They're not something you can say is, you know, yes, you know, it's good. That's not. You can purify. I think he's mentioned, probably mentions they can all be purified, just envy. You can't engage envy. You know, some people like to say they are. But, you know.
In the Christian tradition, there are some saints who follow to the practice of vairagya. And they describe, they also describe some levels of spiritual education. And after the stage of internal battle, according to them, will be the stage of internal dryness.
Internal dryness.
Till they will see the light of the God. And can we think that this dryness stage is something like our not completed but without this?
I would say is that the dryness would more be in the line of the gyan, because of the renunciation. There's no engagement for the senses, so it becomes very dry. There's nothing for the mind to do, there's nothing. You just analyze, and so it'll be very dry. That would be the point. Now if they can get... So that's why then devotion is necessary. So we're engaging the process of knowledge and the process of activity, of karma, but it's in support of bhakti. So for us, we're doing everything to please Krishna, so it's bhakti. So then the karma and jnana are just tools that are used. We're not actually following the path of karma or the path of jnana. We're following the path of bhakti. But they're already included in bhakti because they're reflected from bhakti. In other words, the activities of bhakti, that becomes the path of karma. The activity, the knowledge, you know, known within bhakti, that becomes the path of jnana. Because devotees aren't attached to the material world. They know it's useless and this and that, blah. You know, and all these different things. So they already know that. So it's just, it becomes a process for some people. When actually bhakti, it's already inherent. You know, it's not that there's karma and jnana and then bhakti's the new kid on the block, you know, that came along. No. Bhakti is the original thing. These others are reflections or shadows, and they're just part. They're not even the whole thing. Does that make sense? So I would take it that it's the dryness that comes from there. Because then you also see in the any of these systems where they just get into meditation. I mean, you're meditating on a wall for 7 hours a day. You know, it's like a... It becomes dry, you know, or a candle, or, you know.
Mother Teresa from Calcutta, she did some karma yoga, I think, but she also feels this stage of internal dryness.
Because, okay. Then you're going to get the point is that if you get to that point and notice the dryness, is who's supposed to be in that place of dryness is Krishna. So in other words, devotion to Krishna is supposed to be there. Because they've pulled the senses in, they've engaged them in, you know, some nice activity or you know, avoiding bad things. But they haven't come to the point of seeing it in the context of service to the Lord, you know, as a person. Like Mother Teresa, they're doing because it's good to do. Right? You know, okay, God, like all everybody's God's children, like that. And but so then you're taking care and all that, but just taking care, that's all? Because God's already doing that with everybody else, you know. I mean, the dog in the street's doing better than the guy you picked up off the street. You know, so
later it's described how without the touch of devotional service, no other process offer any result. So it's not about like you get some, you don't get
any
tangible result without the touch of bhakti. But if you want real result, then the touch should be all.
The touch should get bigger.
Yeah.
Full touch.
Yeah. So, because, see, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, you can experience all those from the material platform. not from the transcendental platform. He's, I'm doing this as God's laws I'm following. By doing this, I'll go to heaven. That's material. There may be recognition of God and this and that, but it's not so much about God, because it means you look at it and all the religious, what do they do when they get to heaven? What, do they ever talk about God? You know what I'm saying? No. I mean, at least you see the Christian thing that he stands, he sits there in this monster chair, you know, oversized chair with big arms, you know, and then sits at the door to heaven. And then you come in front, and then, you know, with his hand, he doesn't even just hang, he points this way or that way. So either you go in or you go to hell. You know? And that's it. You know, there's no conversations, no hello, how are you, and, you know, how's it been hanging out in your coffin for the last, you know, how you say, 2,000 years, you know, like that. You know, yeah, a little bit, you know, little damp and all that, but, you know, it's well worth it. I'm here now. You know, it's like that. You know, so whatever it is, but is there any time? And then you walk in, and there's no more talk of God. You know, I mean, from what I hear, that it also Islamic is that they talk about you'll enjoy there. You know, others talk about you'll enjoy there, or you know, the person will get up to the Brahman platform, and then you'll be absorbed in Brahman, and so then you're going to enjoy. They don't talk about God at all. He may be part of a process, but once they get there, it's dropped. So that's why it's not called bhakti, but you still have to use bhakti to make it work. Does that make sense? So that should be understood as that, oh, but they're religious and that. Yes, but that's part of that's the progressive platform of consciousness. Anamoy, pranamoy aren't really progressive. I mean, they're progressing from there, but it doesn't become dynamic till manamoy. When they acknowledge theistically God's laws. In other words, their morality is theistic rather than social or economic or political. Does that make sense? So that's then when it gets there. And then within that there'll be some devotion, but you know, does it continue? Just like in Patanjali, it's pointed out that in the second chapter he talks about super soul and about what he looks like, what he does, and so there's a meditation. But in the seventh chapter, when one's on the platform of samadhi, he doesn't talk about super soul anymore. You know, so the whole point is that you know, they're missing the point. It's just a method. You know, the smartas, you meditate on a form, but when you actually get up there, then it doesn't matter. You know, it could be an old box of cornflakes that's empty, you know, like that. You know, it could be anything, you know. Does that make sense? You know? Yeah.
They call this the black matter, so the black sun. When the spiritual person feels dryness.
The black night of the soul.
The dark night.
The dark night of the soul.
Yeah, very long and very good experience.
Okay. Yeah, so it's just a matter of if you engage in devotional service, then that doesn't come. It just becomes more and more bright. Because there's more and more taste. Because the thing that gets in the way of taste. So the soul, by nature, would have taste for serving the Lord, but because of material desire, it's blocked. If you're eating one thing, you can't taste another. Right? So as you give up that one taste, the other one is there, and so then it just develops. It just naturally takes over. So it's not a separate endeavor. So,
sometimes, if you say that Krishna doesn't leave immediately bhava over one's profile.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking that maybe this is some kind of reminds me of
what Martin said. That's there, but then they know what they're looking for. But there's still, but even though he doesn't give, it's not dry, it's not empty. It's just because see what happens is that bhava aspect is there, but then there's that absorption and that aspect of separation. Because when you're thinking of Krishna, you're not actually separated from Krishna, but it gives a feeling of. So these kind of things that it enthuses.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the difficulty here is that the process of bhakti is not actually understood in these other, you know, philosophies and processes. So if it gets left out, and so it's not seen, is that, yeah, it's supposed to love God, but then how do you express that love of God? You just say you should have love for God. Okay, but then the next thing is, okay, how do you do that? Because for many, you just say you should love God, and then they're satisfied. But you didn't say, it's just like I said, you know, I said, yeah, you should, you know, eat lunch, you know? But then no one thinks about, well, how do you do that? It's just, yeah, that's a nice thing. I'll think about lunch. I should have lunch. You know, but they don't do anything.
So they stay on the level of sambandha, basically. And they don't do what they
get. Yes. There's sambandha jnana, and that's why sambandha jnana includes the knowledge of the process. But even here, they don't necessarily even have the dog. But you have to apply it. So they'll apply in certain areas. They try to express the faith, but it's not a scientific, necessarily, process. These prayers used a lot.
The interesting point is this person, I forgot his name, who wrote about this Black Knight and the Soul, he was a disciple of Teresa from Avila. And she, her motivation for service was only to satisfy God without any expectation. And she, when she described the way of elevation, she never mentioned giants. She just mentioned different states of separation and ecstasy in the earth, because she saw the God as his face.
Okay.
But he, because he followed to another way, but he was her first disciple. He describes be very one stage of giants and then him as life.
Yeah. So stick to the path. Don't go off the path.
Yeah. Sounds like a depression. I'll keep my comments to myself. Because I went to Jerusalem so many times just watching those guys. And it's like, and you know, there's so many sects, you know, Christians and
yeah,
Jews and Muslims.
Let's try. I mean, the only exciting thing is that you can toss something over the wall.
Over the wall, yeah.
You know? Either way, you know, like that.
We can fight individually. Who's playing when? Who's supposed to move where? That's the
work. Yeah. Yeah, it means the excitement. It means when you went, if some people come up on the mount, then as they go around, even though it was the temple, but they can't do anything from their religion. And so there's people that are watching like a hawk, that you don't do anything like that. So they're getting a taste out of watching like a hawk and policing the whole thing. And the others are getting a taste on how to find some way to do something that they don't know that I'm doing. But it doesn't, there wouldn't be as much taste as if it was a little more direct. You know?
I was listening to Basu Ghosh Prabhu lecture the other day. And he told the story how he asked Prabhupada about these Abrahamic religions. Mm. And he said, my impression was that Prabhupada did not actually respect those. Mm. He did not respect the Abrahamic faiths, although he presented it, one in the West, as kind of a preaching strategy. He spoke about Jesus Christ, mm-hmm, being our Acharya or whatever. Mm-hmm. But actually, when I asked him, he said, well, this is a religion for me teachers.
Yeah, it's just how to connect. So it means this. If you took Vaishnavism and really took it down, you know, until you could get meat eaters to try to regulate their life and try to do something connected with God, that's what you're doing. So in that way, it has principles that it's working on, but the details of it aren't going to be that necessarily dynamic or inspiring, because otherwise, very few. Because you see, it's like, you know, what Mataji's talking about is historically, you only had a handful of people that record this kind of thing, like she was saying, you know, you go up through this and you come in contact with God, and there was that, you know, the guy who started the Essenes, and then, you know, after, from his first disciple, it's, you know, off in left field again. You know, so it's always, there's a handful of them, you know. You take the Christian thing out of, you know, 2,000 years, they'll have, I think it's two, maybe three saints who kind of got into God as a person and developed a love for God, and one of them had to be corrected. You know, I think they pulled back, so they didn't toss them out. You know, like that. So it's, you know, you have just a handful from the Abrahamic. You know, a few here and there.
You're walking with the tunnel.
Yes, I'm just waiting. Maybe get.
You're in my heart.
Maybe, unless he's using one of those some of those North Indian or South Indian.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can get some fine. They're like in South, there's Madangas. The top end's not as high as ours.
It doesn't sound like a finger, but it sounds like a bamboo stick yet almost.
Okay.
Rethink the question.
Yeah, I think so. I agree.
That flat-headed stick.
Yeah. It's a big thing.
Oh, these those big round ones.
I think so.
Okay. And he's playing it with the... some Bengali beats and that. That's interesting. That would be interesting to play one of those drums with the Bengali beats. I mean, if they want sound, that's way louder than a djembe. Or at least they could keep up with them. Those are super loud.
It's even more interesting when you play drum kit with Bengali tawa. Play drums with.
That'd be very interesting. Yeah. Really? Okay. Okay, Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. That's where you are, right?
Yes.
A living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. This state of existence is called Brahma Bhuta, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30-20, or Atma Nandi. Or state of self-satisfaction. This self-satisfaction is not like the satisfaction of the inactive fool. The inactive fool is in the state of foolish ignorance, whereas the self-satisfied Atmanandi is transcendental to the material state of existence. The state of perfection is attained as soon as one is fixed in irrevocable devotional service. Devotional service is not inactivity, but the unalloyed activity of the soul. The soul's activity becomes unadulterated in contact with matter.
Unadulterated.
Okay.
It makes more sense.
It does. I mean, but you can say it, but that's the problem. It didn't make sense. So, yeah. The soul's activity becomes unadulterated in contact with matter, because he said that you stands out. Mm-hmm. As soon as you hit the you, then it goes back. In contact with matter. And as such, the diseased activities are expressed in the form of lust, desire, hankering, inactivity, foolishness, and sleep. The effect of devotional service becomes manifest by complete elimination of these effects of passion and ignorance. The devotee is fixed at once in the mode of goodness, and he makes further progress to rise to the position of Vasudeva, or the state of unmixed sattva, or Shuddha sattva. Only in the Shuddha sattva state can one always see Krishna eye to eye by dint of pure affection for the Lord. Devotee is always in the mode of unalloyed goodness. Therefore, he harms no one. But the non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. Devotee is neither foolish nor passionate. The harmful, foolish, and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord. However, they may advertise themselves as devotees by outward dress. A devotee is always qualified with all the good qualities of God. Qualitatively, such qualifications may be different. Quantitatively, such qualifications may be different. But qualitatively, both the Lord and the devotee are one and the same. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.19 purport. Because those 50 qualities that the devotees have, those are the 50 qualities that Krishna interacts on. You know, and then he has four special qualities. Because between 50 and 60, Those are all qualities of him being God. He creates the universes, he, you know, this and that, and all these different things. Those are also, they're, if you're in majesty and Vaikuntha, some of those will have some meaning, or if you're the demigods, it'll have some meaning. But the basic thing of him interacting as Bhagavan is going to be based on those 50 qualities. Right? And then in Vrindavan, you'll get those 50 with those four. So the other 10 aren't a basis really for us to interact with him. He has those, we respect him for those. But actually, the personal interaction is on those 50, you know, that are common between the living entity and the Lord, and then those four extra that he has that just makes him, you know, all attractive. Does that make some sense?
Well, so, he's in a, so for human platforms, this is the platform.
Yes.
Interaction for us.
Yes, but even in Vaikuntha, those 50 qualities are going to be the ones he uses. It's just a matter of in which proportion to bring out the, you know, to support great, the majesty. So pastimes means those 50 with the devotees. There's not something else being used. Right? So it becomes the aspect that it's... That's why there's so much importance put on the qualities, because these are the qualities used, and the devotees develop those same qualities, you know, in minute, right? And the prominent ones that devotee has that you see the manifest are the 20, 25 qualities. But that surrender to the Lord, that would be the main. You know, Radharani has his 24 qualities, right?
26,
no, 25. The devotee is 26. Like that. And so then those are going to be the central point of the interaction. But all those 50 qualities are used. Is that? Yeah. So rasa is happening, the exchange with those qualities. That's why the qualities are important. You know, I think the form of the pastimes, but the point is without the qualities, how do the pastimes happen? And the form is a manifestation of those qualities also.
The qualities are somehow simultaneously part of ashrama of Krishna, and they also udipa for.
Yes, yes.
For the devotee.
Yes, because he is the vishaya, then he's going to have those qualities. It means the vishaya. What's the other? Yeah, ashrama vishaya as the vishaya. Because it was interesting, because I always took it just udipan and vishaya. It was all one thing. But then Jiva Goswami is pointing out this isn't Udipan, this is Vishaya. He was talking about certain qualities. I think it was in the context of Mother Yashoda, the cowherd boys or something. He says, no, this is the Vishaya aspect. These are qualities he has, he manifests. That's what makes him the person that they have the love for. Then that person, when he does these particular activities, some of them may be also Vishaya qualities. But there can be other ends when he does those are the Udipans. But it's not that it's the Udipan that's there, because then we're saying then what does he have? But he's done that, but he has to have those qualities, yes.
Just like the devotees have their Sthayi Bhava, and then in how they relate in that Sthayi Bhava, you know, how they express to Krishna is through that personality, him as Vishaya and them as Ashraya. And Uddipana is what ignites that.
Yes, what ignites. But it's already there.
It's already there.
So you're saying the Sthayi Bhava, it's going to be between that relationship between them as Ashraya and Krishna as Vishaya.
Yeah, and then how they relate in that Sthayi Bhava, then that's what Vishaya Alambana is all about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Alambana, yes. Okay. And so the Uddipana then is
what ignites.
What ignites.
Yeah, the stimulus.
Stimulus, ignites it.
Catalyst.
Catalyst is a little different, no?
You're talking to someone who knows it.
Reaction.
Knows his test tube.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't ignite a reaction, it only speeds up.
Because it's already there.
Yeah.
And the reaction may be not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because also the catalyst is not necessarily the two stay together. You end up with something else. You know, you have that funny little, whatever it is, that wire thingy that's flexible, it's like a spring, and you squeeze it quickly and it creates sparks. You know, and then your Bunsen burner. So it's not a catalyst, it ignites. Because afterwards it's not involved. Well, a catalyst is still part of it. Further explanation by Srila Prabhupada. The beginning of bhakti yoga is hearing about Krishna, as described in the present verses of the Bhagavatam. The result of hearing about Krishna regularly is that the dirty things in the heart are cleansed almost to nil. Nasta prayesha bhadreshu. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:18. Then one becomes steady in devotional service, surpasses the modes of passion and ignorance, and is promoted to the platform of goodness. Stitam stattve prasidati. And as soon as you come to the platform of goodness, you are freed from lust and greed, the effects of the lower modes of passion and ignorance. The whole world is moving due to the impulse of lust and greed. Those who are influenced by the lower qualities of material nature are never satisfied. Quote, give me more, give me more, give me more. End quote. It didn't work for Oliver. It's not going to work for anybody.
He said please, though.
Yeah, he did say please. So he was even actually doing work. And he even said sir. He was respectful. Still it didn't help. But no matter how much one gets, one is not satisfied. A man will think, if I can just increase my income to $1,000 a month, I will be satisfied. End quote. But as soon as one gets $1,000, he wants $100,000. Even the millionaires are not satisfied. In Paris, I've seen lusty old men going to clubs. They enter the club by paying $50, and there they find young women and wine. That is their pleasure. On the one side, they are not satisfied even with millions of dollars, and on the other side, they want to enjoy young women, simply greedy and lusty, that's all. So to become Krishna conscious means to become free from lust and greed. Cheta eter anavitam. Vidham means piercing. Lust and greed are also always piercing and pinching the heart. Come on, come on, enjoy. But when you are actually a little advanced in Krishna consciousness, these things will no longer pinch you because your heart will be cleansed. Then you will always be joyful, prasidati. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 18:54, Brahma-bhuta prasanatma nasochati nakangshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. When you come to the Brahma-bhuta, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30:20 stage.
That's actually one of my pet peeves.
Yeah, why don't they put it after stage?
Well, also because it's not referring to 4:30:20 here, it's referring to 1854, but just any time the Brahma-bhuta comes up, they'll give you that reference. Uh-huh. That database, they just did a search for all the Brahma-bhutas and then they put it this reference. That's bad, because if you refer to it, you'll still read about the Brahma-bhutas.
Yeah, yeah.
When he's talking about 1854, it's not really necessary. In my opinion. But yeah, anytime the Brahma-bhuta comes up, in folio, it'll put that bracket.
Put that there.
People can see if it means something.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But it's clearly referring to the verses of the Torah.
Yeah.
The context is there.
Context is there. Also, 1854 is 9 and 9.
Oh, yeah.
When you come to the Brahma-bhuta stage, the platform of liberation, you become fully joyful and no longer lament or hanker over material things. Na sochati, na kankshati. In material consciousness, we hanker after something we do not possess, and we lament when we lose something. But in Krishna consciousness, we are free from these effects of the modes of passion and ignorance. In such consciousness, you will be able to see everyone on the spiritual platform. As Krishna explains earlier in the Bhagavad Gita 5:18, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni Chaiva Sohake Cha Pandita Samadarshinaha. One in Krishna consciousness is fully learned, and thus he sees cats and dogs and human beings equally. He does not see the outward dress of the body, but sees the spirit soul. Quote, here is the spirit soul, end quote. He thinks part and parcel of Krishna. That kind of vision is the basis of universal brotherhood. Brotherhood will not come by passing resolutions in the United Nations. That is not possible. You have to come to the spiritual platform. Then there will be love, brotherhood, equality, and fraternity. Yeah. Otherwise, it is all bogus propaganda, because it's based on the body. They're coming together and discussing about the bodies. So how can there be equal? There's always difference in bodies. But if you do it on the soul, then that's all the same. So then it works. So you can get all this, what he's talking about. Love, brotherhood, equality, and fraternity. Now you could use brotherhood, or you'd have to use... humanhood or personhood.
Just
yeah, well, that's it. So that means that then you show the advance, because it's just down to the, you're from the hood.
Robin Hood.
Yeah, he was also. Yeah. You know. Then you sit on the hood of your 57 Chevy. Yeah. Finally, one who comes to the spiritual platform, the Brahma Bhuta stage, yes, attains pure devotional. I would just be happy if they put the stage on the other side, you know, because it breaks it. You know, the Brahma Bhuta, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30:20 stage attains. If you said the Brahma Bhuta stage, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30:20 attains pure devotional service to Krishna. Mad Bhaktim Lavate Param. 1855. In other words, one becomes completely fit to serve Krishna, and Krishna accepts your service at that time. This stage is further described in the next verse, chapter 14, Dharma, the Way of Transcendence.
You do that also anytime it says Satchitananda, it'll give the Brahma Samhita quote.
Oh, okay.
The verse.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The mind, uncontaminated by Rajas and Tamas, by kama and lobha, becomes situated in Shuddha Sattva and is satisfied. Riti. The next two anuchetas describe the further effects of performing bhakti yoga steadily. A devotee who steadily performs bhakti quickly becomes established in the stage of pure goodness, and thus he becomes detached from all material desires and develops realization of the Lord internally or externally without having to meditate. Anucheda 15. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:20, footnote 6. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:20, footnote 6. Right. You got that when you were doing the Bhagavatam? Okay. Translation by His Holiness Bhanuswami. Then the mind becomes joyful and satisfied in attaining rati. Finally, prema develops, accompanied by the appearance of complete detachment. The devotee then experiences the Lord's form, qualities, pastimes, powers, and sweetness. Right. So when you come to that point, we see when you rati, then prema. Then you fully are absorbed in these, because they go together. But otherwise, there's a natural stage that you go up through, but it doesn't mean that they normally would work all together. All of them are happening together. Does that make sense? You know, but you go through stages, but then you have the whole thing. So, yes.
also in this connection, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions in the 11th canto, one of the verses, that ahankara is destroyed when one crosses through the stages of ruchi and asakti. Once ahankara is destroyed.
Ruchi and asakti, okay. Then, false ego is gone.
But here it describes the word, finally prema develops, accompanied by the appearance of complete detachment, means destruction of ahankara in itself doesn't mean you're completely detached. Mm. Complete detachment means positive attachment
to Krishna. Yeah, because there's nothing else. The other one, something is there. So you're working, like you see Bharat Maharaj, then you know, on the platform, on the Uttama platform, he's on the platform of Bhava, but then he got distracted by the deer. It's a nice thing. He sees the deer also as a living entity, and you know, it can't take care of itself, so he helps and all that, then he gets distracted. You know, so that's why then there's nothing to become attached to other than Krishna. So that's actual detachment. Because that tathasta nature of the jiva then is given up. They're just fully absorbed in the Lord. So that's where the iron is in fire, but it's eternal. So then the jiva acts as fire. So it's always internal potency. Just like for us here, when it's an anadi, you know, like we've been here forever, we just act like dead matter. You know, we identify with the body, everything's to the body, everything's to do with dead matter. So in the same way as you can become absorbed in the spiritual, become on that platform. Because also when it says you're free from false ego, means your identity is in that. It doesn't mean that there's not something lurking around the background, some subtle aspect and like that. You know, it's just like you said, you know, being is absorbed in the Lord means once a day nicely thinking. They were saying that. And what was the term?
Nityam
Bhagavata. Nityam Bhagavata. Was it on that? The Nityam? Because that's already...
That you should always remember
Krishna. Always.
Forget him. Okay. In the level of sadhana, at least once a day.
Once a day. Okay. At least once a day. You're trying. So however much it works for you. So the point is then you're considered, on your level, always remembering. Like you see is that there's that person who first comes in contact with the devotees and is so impressed and so, you know, just that's what he wants to do. So in one sense, you can say he's always thinking about Krishna. When he goes out, he goes to his home, he does all the nonsense things he was doing normally. But in his mind is, oh yeah, you know, when in the evening I'll go for the temple for the program because, you know, everyone went out during the day and it's like that. And so in his mind, he's fully absorbed. So that's the thing, is always being absorbed. At his level, it's, you know, now and again coming up. But otherwise, he's doing everything as he was before. Yes?
How many minutes we should remember Krishna once a day?
I mean, the ideal is...
you got to do the math there.
Yeah.
You got to do the math. Okay. 24.
Okay, then you're going to have... Yeah. Okay, so... Do you say minutes or seconds?
Minutes.
So minutes, okay. So 60 minutes. It is morning, right? Yeah. No? 60 minutes is a morning show, right?
No.
No, it's an evening show. Oh, okay. Well, being spontaneous there. Okay, 60 minutes times 24. Times 24. 1,440 minutes.
Now, if we want to be beetle-like, we just put another one on there, so 1,441, because they do 8 days a week. So, may as well throw another minute on the day. Right?
The beetle?
Yeah. Beetles? 8 days a week? No? Didn't they do that one?
8 days a week?
People don't catch this.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's very early of them.
We'll try the
Baker's dozen.
Which is 13.
Oh. Okay.
So they add one.
Either, yeah, I mean, then you're short. Then you're short.
With basically so.
Then you're short. Or.
Good try, sir.
86,400 seconds.
How many minutes?
Okay, that's okay. That's seconds, but it's 1/11. Okay, then times 11 equals 950,000. No, 950 950,400. Right? Is that right? Somehow it just sounded weird when I said it. Huh? That's how many moments. Because in 1 second you can have 11 moments. They're like someone said they had a moment, it was only 11 for the second.
That's a lot of opportunities to remember Krishna.
Yeah, because you have that many in a day. Because a moment's also the maximum time that you can perceive, a minimum time you can perceive. Less than that, we don't see. You know, where the mongoose sees or something, because from what I understand, it's that, I don't know, we work 24 frames a second, right? I think they work at like 400 or something like that. So for them, it's like, you know, they could eat a donut in the time that it takes for the snake to actually come and bite them. You know, so you know, waiting till it gets close, and then it gets close, and you know, then grab the guy.
Oh, he's going. Okay.
So the point is I think if we were going to take the spirit of it, you know, instead of distraction that we got into, is that if there's a moment where you're sincerely fully absorbed, even if it's only 1/11th of a second, but that moment you're fully absorbed, and that has effect on the heart, that's what you're looking for. So the idea is trying to get at least one of those a day. You know, because if you do that, from there it'll just grow. Because otherwise there's something here, you know, it's like, you know, they just had Kirtan Mela, so there were a few of those, you know, and that, and then you know, you have to wait until, you know, the next festival that comes up, and then that, you know, so it'll be less often. And maybe in between now and again, something will come up, they'll remind, and like that. So the idea is to try to organize your day, so at least once a day that's happening. You know, so either through prayer, or you know, doing some service to the deity, or associating with devotees, hearing a philosophy, something that will ignite, you know, or spark the that remembrance out of absorption. So that's what you're trying to do, is arrange so that you get as much of that as possible. Remember, there was some talk of two Babaji's. One was talking, I think it was Krishna's Babaji, who used to come here, you know, from the Gaudiya Mutt. He probably said he's liberated, he's on the, you know, platform of Baba. So he would be there, and Bhakti Chumaj would host him when he'd come to Mayapur. He'd stay in the guest house and all that. And so then, I think he was saying something about, he was having a discussion with somebody. I don't remember who was saying who, but one was saying, yeah, you know, I'm remembering about, you know, about 11 minutes in an hour, and I'm fully absorbed, like that. And the other one said, I'm not remembering 11 minutes in an hour. You know, but it wasn't about, he was saying, you know, that's nothing, you know. He was just saying is that, you know, they were just both lamenting about how there's time in the day that they don't remember, like that, you know. wasn't you?
No.
Okay.
The numbers would have been slightly different.
Yes.
During the normal lifetime, we can remember about Krishna by listening lectures during our day, but when time of the death, when we feel this pain, it's very difficult to remember by our intelligence.
No, but that's why you make it a habit. That's why it's regularly done. It becomes a habit. Anything goes wrong, you take shelter of the Lord. And so then, when things are difficult, then also you take shelter. That's why, you know, there'll be the common thing. Well, since it's the time of death, and I'll, you know, when I get old, I'll worry about these things. But then there's no practice. They never remember, because they're always absorbed in all their pains and difficulties. So that's why from a young age, that's why, you know, it's in the context of Prahlad Maharaj, he recommends, therefore from a young age, one should start practice. Because it's by practice. In practice you do. It's just like, you can do things without even thinking about it, by practice. So in this way you'll just be thinking about Krishna and then you'll become absorbed. Yes?
Also, I think one of the statements of the Puranas that you try to remember Krishna always.
Mm-hmm.
If not, at least when you wake up, when you eat something, when you drink something, when you sneeze, when you do this. Basically, at least when you are doing any action before, while doing the action, you remember.
Mm. Yeah, at least before then, yeah.
Your mindset.
Yes, yes.
But Umkacha, two times was near the death in the hospital, and after, not so much long, but after 20 years of practice, and I remember, I see that I couldn't remember Krishna because of pain.
Because of?
Because of physical pain. It was very difficult. Not only because some person reminds me, doctor, reminds me about Hare Krishna, I could remember. But
that's why you also associate with devotees. So either you're going to remember, or the devotees will remind you, or Krishna in the heart will remind you. That's also the advantage of leaving in the Dham. Is that if you leave in the Dham, then the Lord of the devotees come and remind you. Yeah. Yeah. It's always, but I'm saying whatever works. It's just like if you're trying to get something done, you don't necessarily, and it's really important to you, you don't necessarily rely on one thing. You try so many ways to get it done, and you're hoping that at least one of them will work. Does that make sense?
Cover all your cases.
Yes.
It's better, it's easier to die near devotees in home. But if I will be outside of home, and if I again will be ill, should I go to the hospital when devotees will not be allowed to come? Or better to stay at home until the death if these devotees to come there? Or we should do efforts to...
The main thing is depend on Krishna. You have to depend on Krishna. So the point is if you're thinking about these things, that this is important to you, so discuss this with Krishna. No? He's sitting in the heart. You can talk about everything you want. He's hearing. You know, just you're worried about this, and so then you want this to be worked out. What to do? No? Yes? No?
Maybe
we have to think about it. Think about talking to Krishna about it. But when you think, then he's also hearing that, so you might as well include him in conversation.
Plato said that philosophy is a lesson in dying.
Art of dying.
Hmm?
The art of dying.
The art of dying.
Actually, the art of living is...
Yeah,
house and house. Then the art of dying, we gave a capsule and had a session.
Also, didn't George Harrison do something like that? It was one of his songs, or it was on the album or something. We did one of those, the one we did with the devotees. I think he talks about the art of dying.
What is all about that?
Yeah.
Martin Kirtaswami did the die before dying.
Yeah.
Prepare, okay. Yeah. No, the reception in your mind, then so absorbed. See that everything is put in its place. And
question about the different stages that are mentioned in these translations. So would that have come from Srila Vishwanatha Thakura to talk about that?
Might. It can also be just the, could be. It also is just the,
see, because
that, no, but just means what you're talking. It can be, but it's the unalloyed goodness, because the unalloyed goodness means that you've come to the point of Shuddha Sattva means you come to the Bhava, but unalloyed goodness then actually would have to be, you know, would be at the point of prema. In other words, how are you going to get to unalloyed goodness?
Yes. At the beginning of these verses, then Jiva Goswami made a comment that they are in the succession.
I see.
But after that, it's Maharaj, like, no, for each verse, what it is there. And I didn't refer much really to...
Have the Sanskrit, and then sometimes Jiva Goswami gives a translation of that, and this might be also
yes.
that.
Right. And then I also found that Banaswami pretty much just goes by what Sri Vishnu Chakrabarti Prabhupada says. So
But
the verses he would have just did directly, right?
I think that the Sanskrit that Maharaj said, how Jiva Goswami put.
Because many times he'll say the Sanskrit and then he'll give a translation.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And so that's just how he gave the translation. And then there might be commentaries, because Prabhupada will be saying what they're saying, but he's putting it into wording that will catch it. Because if we say here, the new person, when the mind comes joyful and satisfied in attaining rati, you know, finally, but you know, but I'm joyful now. I don't have to, you know, find a plane that develops. Oh, so, you know, I love the, you know, how you say the ice cream. So therefore, I develop prema accompanied by the appearance of complete detachment. Yeah, and then I ate so much ice cream, I don't want to eat any more ever again. You know, the devotee then experiences the Lord's form, qualities, pastimes, powers, and sweetness. So the thing is, it doesn't necessarily mean anything to just the general. If you're seeing it in the context of something that's there. So when we see this in relation to here, but Prabhupada's will be anybody at any time could open any book anywhere, read anything, and be able to apply it to their self right now, no matter what their level. If they're not a devotee, they're just at the first stage, any of the stages all from Shraddha. That's the uniqueness. That's the founding Acharya. Because the others are showing a linear development like that, or going to the depth of it, or different aspects of it. So they're doing what they're explaining that they're doing. But Prabhupada's making it so you can access that. So it's not that it's a different translation. Sometimes it's taken, oh, it's different. No, it's the same thing. It's just what Prabhupada's saying is what you can use. And see, it gives up all detachment. That means liberation from all material association. Because people say, oh, I'm detached, but have you given up all material association? That's then, because Prabhupada makes it very clear.
Yeah.
But in, you know, like that. So that's it.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.